listening time for Halloween will be about 39 minutes. Hi, everybody. On this Thought for Today, we're going to be studying about Halloween, the origin, and going to the book of the Revelation, chapter 5, chapter 12, and Leviticus 10, the book of Romans, Galatians. We'll be even talking about the great Thanksgiving feast that is coming up for most of us in the USA. Also the book of Acts, and we'll be studying his nibs, HaSatan, that's Satan, the devil, and much, much more. Let's go to Keith Green here on Great Sounds of Music. This is Asleep in the Light.
Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Don't close your eyes, don't pretend the job's done. Mess. Come away with me, my love. Come away from this mess. Come away with me, my love.
Wow, that is so beautiful. From the 1980s, Keith Green. Revelation chapter 5, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to Yahweh by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and you have made us unto our mighty one, Yahweh. You have made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So that's found in Revelation 5, verse 10. We shall be kings and priests. That takes a lot of responsibility. I guess maybe I better start getting prepared. How about you? Verse 11, And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many messengers round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and esteem and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the heaven, and such as are in the sea and that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and esteem and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and even unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Praise unto the Lamb. The four beasts said, Hallel. And the 24 elders fell down and praised him that liveth for ever and ever. So here is the Messiah, the Anointed One, being praised. Some Jehovah's Witnesses would have a problem with that. Not that I'm putting down all those people, hard-working ones who come and knock at the door. But they have a lot of things to learn too. A lot. And we've got a ways to go. We're going to talk about Halloween and about the blood, about the Druids a little bit, also getting to 2 Corinthians today. Should be pretty interesting there. And then swing back into Romans at the end of the trip. Revelation 12, verse 7 now. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his messengers fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his messengers, or angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and HaSatan, or Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice, and that's, you know, from them came all this demon worship, conjuring up demons and idolatry and all that bad stuff. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our mighty one and the power of his anointed one. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before Yahweh night and day. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." And that's the Messiah, the one who died on the tree, his blood. He was the perfect Lamb, the Messiah. "And by the word of their testimony they overcame, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And therefore rejoice, heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." That's in the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. And we'll especially point out there, verse 9, the great dragon cast out that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Chapter 2, so we got to go back to the beginning here. Chapter 2, verse 13 and 24. 2 and verse 13. "I know thy works, and when thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou beholdest fast my name, as not denied my faith, even in these days, wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, which was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you." This is the assembly of Pergamos. "I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." We've got a lot of cleaning up of our appetites to do and get rid of a lot more idolatry. And I think that applies all of us unequivocally. Leviticus chapter 10. Oh, there's great fire. There's spectacular things that will be happening, and I believe it could be soon. Most people think it's soon. So, you know, I'm thinking that sometime before I'm gone, if I have a natural death in the next 20-some years, that all this could be happening, the end times. Well, if not, I'm going anyway. I'm gonna be in the grave waiting for Messiah's second return. So either way, I've got it made, because I trust in the Messiah, you see. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yahweh, and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh." This is it. This is what Moses spoke there. He warned them. So it's not a good thing to be playing around with strange idols and Ouija boards and Dungeons and Dragons and all that weird stuff. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Also it says in Jeremiah 10 to avoid the pagan ways. And it also says there in Galatians chapter 4. Paul said, "I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you my labor in vain. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you my labor in vain." So Jeremiah 10, "Hear you the word which Yahweh speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen." So not in any way. Let's not learn anything about them and how to imitate them, that is. We need to learn enough to learn the dangers and to be aware. "Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain." And it goes into the cutting down of the tree out of the forest, and then decking it with silver and gold, and fastening it with nails and hammers, that it doesn't move, and it's upright, and it can't be born on its own. It can't walk. It can't go anywhere. And it says, "Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is them anything to do any good." in Jeremiah 10 there, speaking of course, of the winter solstice celebration on December 25th, as well as any other pagan holiday. And the word holly is also a pagan word, by the way, or holiday. All of that comes from the same sources. And it's even if it's just questionable, it's better to deal on the side of caution and avoid those kind of things, in my opinion. Let's keep going here in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. Some things to avoid. Avoid blood. We're told in Acts 15 to avoid any use of blood, somebody else's blood or whatever. Now, I said it was the 17th chapter. I went and turned back to 10 where we were. It says, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel. So does that exclude you because it says that? Or of the strangers? Well, that will certainly include you. So the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that drink, take internally in any way, intravenously, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And so they offered, before the Messiah died for our sins, they offered a perfect lamb. And then they had other offerings too, sin offerings, and then they had praise offerings as well. And some of those will be coming back, those praise offerings, for example, found in Ezekiel and Zechariah chapter 14. Talks about some of the future things. Okay, that was Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 26, you shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am Yahweh, your mighty one. You shall keep my Sabbaths. And then he goes on. Verse 7, you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100. Well, that's pretty scary. Five of us chasing 100 people. But it's happened. It happened in the Six-Day War there in Israel in the 1960s. I think it was 67. So Romans 11, verse 4, but what saith the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. That's in Romans 11. Now that 7,000, that's not very many. If you went to the book of the Revelation, there's 144,000. Go to chapter 12 now of Romans, if you will. Or if you're driving along in the car, just relax and close your eyes. No. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living offering, separated, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So if you were to sum it up, you know, some say that the word love sums up everything that we should be doing for him, but it doesn't define any particulars. But you could sum it up. Let's not be conformed to this world. But what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. How can we prove what is good? Well, we have to pray for faith. Faith comes by hearing and reading and studying the word of Yahweh. Now I'll be quoting from the book Fossilized Customs, written by Lou, that's L-E-W, Lou White, Fossilized Customs, page 39, right after the section about the Druids there. The ritual we embrace as Halloween was originally called the Feast of the Dead, Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, Samhain, and was on November 1st. These pre-Christian Druids had the barbarians doing ghastly things. It was a dreaded occasion, since it was thought that time stood still. Time stood still, and the souls of the dead walked the land. Gifts, especially food, were left outside for these roaming ghosts, with the hope that no harm would come to the households. The Druids chose certain children to be burned alive on bonfires. That's where we get the term bonfires. So the Druids chose certain children to be burned alive on bonfires as offerings to the sun. Parents tied yellow ribbons around oak trees as prayers to the sun to have their children spared. The fat left over from the child was fashioned into a candle and placed into a... Now, why do we want to do this tradition and imitate it? And placed into a carved-out pumpkin or a hollowed-out vegetable with a round design, a sun-shaped design. Not all things round are bad, by the way, including the sun and your head. The victim was called Jack of the Lantern. Jack, J-A-C-K, Jack of the Lantern. Prisoners and unliked people were burned alive in wicker cages shaped in the form of animals hung from... I'm almost through here. This is pretty gory. I'm sorry about that. All this was ultimately to pay homage to the sun, W-O-D-E-N, Woden, or Odin. As you now know, this druid deity gives us our name for the fourth day of the week, Woden's Day. Then it has a chapter called From Samhain, or how do you say that, Samhain, to All Saints. And maybe you could read that, or perhaps I could cover it for you one of these days. Interesting reading under the title Halloween from Fossilized Customs by Lou White. And that's available from fossilizedcustoms.org and also from other organizations such as ISRscriptures.org. So now let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, which I read earlier, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, Yahweh sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made, quote, under the law. The law of what? The law of sin and death. To redeem them that were under the law of sin and death, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, Yahweh has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of Yahweh through the Anointed One. Howbeit then, when you knew not Yahweh, so this is speaking to the Galatians who were not Jews, they were Gentiles. When you knew not Yahweh, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, why do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? You're turning again. So these are not Jews. These are Galatians. Why do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Now, Yahweh's law is freedom and liberty, but breaking it is bondage. So you desire to be in bondage, you observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Beseech I you, brethren, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. And, yes, Galatians chapter 4, all about those heathen days that are kept as national holidays in the United States of America, sadly. Instead of that, we should be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, which occurred a month earlier, around the 9th of the 10th month, Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Sukkot, when the Messiah will dwell with us the second time, when he will tabernacle with us. Even though the national holiday of Thanksgiving in Canada and America, it seems to be an innocent holiday. There's a little bit of paganism in there, having to do with the Horn of Plenty. But, well, compared to the other holidays, it's the most innocent of them all. Acts 15 now, Acts 15, 29, having then said what we did about the rituals for Samhain, Acts 15, 29, that we lay no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols. Stay away from that idolatry there. And from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. Okay, chapter 8 now of the book of Acts, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Messiah unto them, the anointed one. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice. Oh, where do we get that, huh? Around Halloween time, don't we? Unclean spirits crying with, well, there's some sort of weird things going on around us. People wearing different weird costumes. You can have a harvest festival instead. Well, I'm still not sure about imitating the pagan holidays and renaming them, but still doing the same things that everybody else did. Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Wow. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in that same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Or like that TV evangelist who throws his handkerchief or blanket on the people and they all fall over, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they all had regard because of that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh and the name of Yahusha, Messiah, the anointed, they were immersed, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. The sorcerer Simon believed, and when he was immersed, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. Such wonderful things, powerful things went on. In verse 20 there, then they encountered somebody else was using the Ruach HaKadosh, the spirit of Yahweh, to make some money. And that's being done a lot of times in quite a few churches around. Well, what about Satan here? I started off talking about him there. We're going to be going to 2 Corinthians. First of all, where's the first place that Satan was mentioned? Genesis chapter 3, here on the thought for today. Looks like we're going to probably come out around the usual time there of 40 minutes that we when we get into these longer teaching times here, about 40 today. Could be wrong. Could be shorter. Could be long. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent, there's a footnote there, serpent or Satan. The serpent was more subtle, S-U-B-T-I-L. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yah had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath Yahweh said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden?" Questioning Yahweh's commandment there, wasn't he? We hear that a lot in churches. Not in every church, though. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." See, you're going to live forever. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. You shall not surely die, for Yahweh does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave her also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Well, that was not immediately. I'm sure the husband was not standing right next to her all that time. So it must have been a period of, rationalizing about it. We think we know better than Yahweh. We start thinking, well, he couldn't mean that. He probably means that it doesn't really matter that much, and there's a lot of leeway and mercy with Yahweh. So I think if I do this, he's just going to have to understand, because, for my own convenience, I'm just not doing well keeping his commandments. Yeah, that's what we sometimes think. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, we can know it if we keep studying the scriptures, and we stay more in step, in tow, in line with Yahusha, the Messiah, and with Yahweh the Father. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, Well, let's see. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the emissaries of the Anointed One. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a messenger of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. No great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So Satan's ministers are transformed, whose end shall be according to their works. Not good. Not a good situation. And then chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has the Anointed One, Yahusha, with Belial or Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple. You are the tabernacle. You are the Sukkot of the living Yah. As Yahweh has said, I will dwell, or I will tabernacle in them, and walk in them, and I will be their mighty one. I will be their sovereign, and they shall be my people. We're reading here in 2 Corinthians 6. Wherefore, as Keith Green sang there earlier, for the radio people out there, Keith sang, come away, my love. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. So Yahweh is saying that to us. He says that there in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, and Jeremiah 31, he gives us his new covenant. In Exodus 29, verse 45, which I'm turning there right now, he writes his covenant in our heart and our minds. He writes his covenant and his laws in our minds so that we can automatically keep them, not so that we can forget them. He said in Exodus 29, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their mighty one. Now, not just with Jews, but all of Israel, all 12 tribes and half tribes, I will dwell with you, and all with the strangers too that have been grafted in to his good olive tree. Referring there to Romans 11, by the way, if you're interested about being grafted in, about being saved. We believe on the Messiah, that not by works, which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us. For Ephesians 2:8 says that by faith, Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by faith are you saved through, or does it go the other way? For by unmerited favor are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created unto good works, unto the Messiah. Then Messiah said unto the devil, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt praise Yahweh, thy mighty one, and him only shalt thou serve the sovereign one. Then the devil left him, and behold, messengers came and ministered unto him. So that was Matthew 4. You can also find that in Luke 4. He also said that man should not live by bread alone, by spiritual bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. He was quoting that there in Matthew 4. And it's also written in Deuteronomy 8. So now I would like to move up to higher ground with Yahweh. 2 Corinthians again. Answer, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yahweh, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Anointed One. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled? Whoa, our obedience is done away with. If you've ever, the law is fulfilled, done away with, so is our obedience here. No. People are twisting things there. The law is not done away with. It's made full. It's filled full by Yahweh, and our obedience is filled full by Yahweh through the Spirit, by the Ruach HaKadosh. And I'm not speaking on that right now. So let's move about the judgment then is coming. Well, first the idolatry. Chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting pureness in the fear of Yahweh. That's just like Romans 12:1 there, to present ourselves acceptable unto Yahweh, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Rolling Stones, an LP, Their Satanic Majesty's Request. They posed as witches on the cover. One of the songs was Sympathy for the Devil, the unofficial national anthem for Satanists. Sympathy for the Devil. Sympathy for the worst of all. They had the song Goat's Head Soup by the Rolling Stones, part of a ritual at a Haitian voodoo ritual, featuring the screams of those dancing becoming possessed of evil spirits. And Goat's Head Soup, the universal symbol of Satan worship. A song called Dancing with Mr. D. Mr. D. the Devil, of course. Hotel California. And now that was by the Eagles, but in the book Rock by Bob Larson. That's an old book from 1980s. There, I'm pretty sure. In chapter 6 and 7, talks about Hotel California. Now about the group Kiss, with their kabuki whitened faces. Kabuki is spelled K-U-B-U-K-I. In their leather gay costuming, army rock magazine say fire-breathing demons from rock and roll hell about the group Kiss there. Well, they had a beautiful song called Beth. Of course, you got to have something good to, you know, try to justify yourself and put on a good impression. But the outside may not contain what's all in the inside. Kiss. The Rolling Stones. In Circus Magazine, March 25th of 1976, page 42, and People Magazine, May 22nd, 1978, page 124. There's a TV special featuring Kiss exhibiting psychic phenomenon, enlarging their powers to the supernatural. And featuring, Gene, I believe, had the extended tongue feature there. The ancient pagan symbol of demon worship was the extended tongue. And there's some mimeographed pictures there in the Kiss section of this, I think, of the articles that I quoted there, the references, either that or in the Punk Called Rock by Bob Larson. Punk Called Rock, or it's just Rock. Rolling Stone's Sympathy for the Devil is now the anthem for Satanists. There are orgies, there is drugs, coke, which gives energy, Satanism, fornication, dead fans at the Altamont concert, unknown agents of Lucifer in Rolling Stone magazine, 1971, August 19th. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah. It is the power of Yahweh unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 18, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth, but it's in unrighteousness. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and mighty head, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Yahweh, they magnified him not as Yahweh, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the esteem of the uncorruptible Yahweh into an image, so into an idol, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That's the Halloween stuff there again. Wherefore Yahweh also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, changed the truth of Yahweh into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, more than the Father. And then we'll go to Romans, and that is in chapter 5, verse 10 is the address there. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to Yahweh by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh through the Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement, or we have now received the reconciliation. Praise Yah. That was Romans chapter 5, and this has been our version here of Halloween. You can go to our website, yahweh.name, and there's contact information in case you need to email, and there's over 200 files on there of MP3, and I don't know, 100 or so text files, too, of documents that could be of help to you out there in the internet world, cyberspace. Well, it's been a real blessing to have you today. This is Stephen Yah. Shalom.